Your foundation's dug in Zion, your house is built in Sodom, and you wonder why the walls keep falling down.
Hi, this is Duncan Bauer from Johannesburg, South Africa with X-Gay Talk.
Do I change for God or does God change for me? God, what do you want for my life?
Today I'm talking to Wynne Cameron Thompson from Restoring Wholeness Ministries in Cape Town, South Africa. How's it going, Wynne? Wynne, I decided to have this interview with you today because I've been doing a podcast on the internet about the X-Gay ministry, and I thought it would be great to have another opinion.
Okay, great.
Wynne, would you please describe your ministry to us?
Well, it's a ministry that reaches out really to the church, as well as it does to those who are struggling with sexual brokenness. Our outreach to the church is really to help them understand how people become gay or how they actually begin to think that way, and try to help them, help the church to not criticize or put down people, but a helping hand, I should say, out to them.
So are you preaching really to the converted already?
Well, actually, yes and no. I think a lot of people aren't converted because a lot of the churches don't have a clue about how to really support or comfort or help or anybody that is struggling or wants answers or wants just help, wants love. They need love.
Yeah. Tell me, Wynne, do you consider yourself to be an ex-gay?
Well, yeah, I guess so. I used to live a gay lifestyle for many years, but I also was bisexual and I've had a lot of addictive behaviors, and I guess you could say that I was, or I am an ex-gay.
Yeah. And what does that mean to you?
Well, it means that I used to be, once I was blind and now I can see.
All right.
As the scriptures say, but without being too spiritual here, I feel for all my life, that's what I believed I was. I had convinced myself that's who I was, and that's where that was my focus. But I think after a while, going through a lot of hard knocks and a lot of bad relationships, and yeah, we just got one bad thing after another, and finally I just said, no, there's got to be something better than this. I was tired of being alone. At first I had a lover, and they were with me for a while, and then they left, and it was just up and down.
All right.
And I got really tired of that.
So did you have a gay identity as such?
Oh, I guess so. I think so. I think I had a gay identity. At least that's what I was thinking in my mind. I mean, I was living in Hollywood at the time, and of course that's the way Hollywood thinks, and of course there's a big pro-gay agenda of trying to legitimize the gay thinking and lifestyle, and some of them, that's right for them, I guess, but for me it was not right, and I just wasn't happy.
Yeah. So now, and would you say that you've moved from having a gay identity to having an ex-gay identity?
Well, let's put it this way. I think I've moved out of what I believe is my false identity into my true identity.
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, we could say ex-gay and gay and all that sort of stuff, but then that actually legitimizes that gay is legitimate. And
yeah.
To me, I don't think it is.
Okay. So does that mean that you have no more feelings for men?
Well, I can't say that. Let's put it this way. I notice when there's attractive men around, but I also notice when there's attractive women around. So I think I'm pretty balanced in seeing people for who they really are and seeing actually how God created them. There's a lot of beautiful people out there.
Yeah.
And that's how I see them, but I don't see them sexually anymore.
I see. Either men or women.
No.
So are you then asexual?
No. I'm looking for a wife.
Oh, okay.
But I just don't look at people for sex to be sexual. You know, before I was cannibalistic. You know, I was eating up people because there was lots of needs inside of me, and I was looking at other people and trying to fulfill my need.
Okay.
But now I think I've dropped that narcissistic self, and I'm starting to reach out and to see other people as actually God has created them and created me, and that's
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me, I mean, the fact that you do still sometimes have attractions to men, do you think that invalidates the whole ex-gay experience?
Absolutely not, because I'm not attracted to men. I can see that there are men out there that are good looking, and I can see that there's women out there that are good looking. But that doesn't mean I'm attracted to them, because I want to have a relationship.
Yeah.
Do
you find that you sometimes still walk through the street and then suddenly, I mean, it might be a bad day for you or whatever, and then suddenly you see somebody and there's a surge of something that is reminiscent of the past?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think all of us have our weaknesses, and I think it's in that weakness that God can be strong.
The reason that I'm making an issue out of this is because there's a lot of thought out there that says that, you know, because we talk about being ex-gay and we talk about we're no longer gay, and yet we still experience same-sex attractions to one degree or another, and therefore they would like to say that this invalidates this whole search or journey, you know, for the opposite of being gay. So I just wanted to get to the bottom of how you deal with that and how you see that and whether it has an influence maybe on how you feel about your journey. Yeah, it does. I wanted to ask you, you said you're looking for a wife, so I'm presuming you're not dating anybody at the moment or anything like that?
I'm seeing people.
All right.
I better not say too much.
Oh, okay, we don't want to compromise.
I haven't said anything to anybody, but I've got my eye on Tuesday.
And now tell me, how do you... Now, when I'm going to ask you a question that I didn't put on the list that I sent you.
Okay.
You presumably are celibate in terms of interpersonal sex.
To coin a phrase.
Right. And yes. How do you deal then with your sexual urges?
Well, that's a good question, because I think God is all sufficient. And sometimes it's very hard. But you see, one of the things that God created in the human body is a lot of people call it... wet dreams, but it's actually in the doctoral world, it's called the nightly emissions.
Yeah.
And that is a way to release those urges or the sperm that is created. So that's what's been happening. I've been celibate, keeping my focus on God, but at the same time, there's been times when I have masturbated. I'll be very honest with you. I'm pretty open and honest about it with people and my accountability partners and my board and everybody. It has happened from time to time, but I don't concentrate on anybody. It's not God's perfect will. He forgives us and He guides us. He comes back and He keeps loving us, even if we do make mistakes.
Yeah.
Talking about, oh, we'll see.
Yeah.
It's still sex outside of marriage. And even if, so if I'm thinking about somebody, well, then that's a sin. But the Bible definitely not clear about masturbation. But what it is clear about is not making any idols.
Yeah.
So that's where, that's the stance that I take. Realize that there are times that we do masturbate, men masturbate. But of course, there's really balance. And I think the whole crux of all this is, where are we meeting our needs? Are we going to God for our needs, or are we falling back on our own physical urges to meet our needs?
Okay.
And that's what I look at.
Okay.
Okay,
That's exactly what I think too. When I wanted to ask you what you would say to a person who's attracted to the same sex, but that's not convinced that it is wrong, and that is thinking of embarking on a gay lifestyle, because you must come across those every now and then.
Yep. Well, my focus is not focusing on myself. It's sort of completely different than how society looks at it. Nowadays, all self-gratification. It's what I need, what I want, and what I desire. And if a person is a Christian and thinking those things, the first thought should be, God, what do you want for my life? What do you really want for my life? And if we are open enough to come to Him and say, I am willing to open up our heart and say, God, here I am. You are the creator of everything. In my mother's womb. You've watched my whole life. You see the confusion I am. You see how I feel right now and what I'm thinking. And I'm asking you to come into my heart and my life and to bring truth into it. I think that's probably the best thing I would say. I wouldn't try to force them to go this way or that, because I think it's really a matter of the heart between them and God. And the Bible says that if anybody comes to God, not going to turn them away, and he's going to give them the truth. The Bible says the truth sets us free.
Hmm.
It's a difficult thing, because there's a lot of voices out there right now that are saying so many weird things, and there's even voices in some of the churches that are saying, "Oh yeah, it's really cool. It's okay. God blesses this."
Yeah.
But it's all focused around narcissistic feelings.
Yeah.
And narcissism is definitely.
Yeah.
Write it down. It's a sin. It's all about me and my desires and who I'm going to raise up as an idol and worship. And who's going to worship me?
Tell me, when doing this podcast, somebody who's not a South African, obviously, because most of my listeners are American, accused me of sounding quite gay, and I think it was a cultural thing as well, in terms to do with the accent and so on and so on. Have people accused you of having gay mannerisms or sounding gay or whatever, and used it as ammunition?
That's a good question, because a long time ago, yes, I was extremely effeminate. I just decided, it wasn't like some God came over with his magical spirit and changed my mannerisms. I became very uncomfortable with them. And what I did is I became accountable to somebody, and I really opened myself to a couple of people, and I said, listen, anytime I say something, or encumps my voice, or if I flip my wrist or sit in a certain way or whatever, let's have a sign, pull on your ear, or let me know without embarrassing me that I'm doing it. And over a period of about 5 years or so, my whole mannerisms changed. So, I think mannerisms is a model thing. It's something that happens of who we're hanging around. I've realized boys growing up are around their mothers a lot, and they're going to model their mothers. They're not going to model their fathers unless their fathers takes an interest in them. So sometimes that takes a long time to change. And so that's how I look at that.
Yeah. When do you have any last messages to people listening to this podcast that you would say? Anything that you would want people to know about, either about you or about your journey or about the whole ex-gay thing, or just about Christianity in general?
Well, there's a lot I could say, but may I just make a suggestion that if people want to read my story in a little bit more depth, they can go to our website. Our website is
Okay.
And they can go there, and that is a pretty extensive site. There are lots of stories on there. I think even your stories on there in Afrikaans. But there's a lot of stories on there. There's just a whole lot of stuff, and they can go there and check it out.
Well, Wyn, thanks for chatting to me, and I wish you all the best with your ministry and with all your ministry partners. And I really thank you for doing this for me. That was Wyn Cameron Thompson from Restoring Wholeness Ministries in Cape Town. And if you want to go to that website again, www.restoringwholeness.org. This is Duncan Bauer from Johannesburg, South Africa, and saying cheers for now. I hope you'll go and check out Wyn's site. Please leave a comment either by clicking on the audio link or sending me an email. My email address is dblog@jendu, that's jendu.org. I'd love that. Thank you very much. Cheers.
Just let me see if I'm getting this right. Your foundation's dug in Zion. Your house is built in Sodom. And you wonder why your wall.